And you think you have problems? Oh, my. I received an email here. I'm not going to give out the name of the person, obviously. But if you're thinking you have problems, you need to hear what was just written to me. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. This is Open Mic Friday on this October the 16th. Which means you can phone me on any subject at all of a theological nature. I'm not promising I'm going to be able to answer it, but I'm going to do the best I can. In fact, I can answer it if it's in the Bible. If God's Word doesn't speak to it, then He hasn't given an answer. And then, of course, there are times when there is an answer, but I forgot it. So I'll have to look it up and tell you on Monday. But numbers are 505-7850 in the St. Louis area. Toll free 1-800-730-2727 outside of St. Louis in North America. And if you're in Europe, Asia, Australia, you want to get to us at no cost, email lawgospel@kfuo.org. lawgospel@kfuo.org. Before I take calls, I do want to read a letter. This is from one of our listeners, and I don't care what you're going through in your life. Maybe there are some things that will meet this level, but I'm just going to talk about what this lady wrote me, and you compare your life to hers and see if your life is just not filled with blessings. She indicates that both she and her husband had surgery within weeks of each other. The physician has told her husband that his heart is very weak and he can do light work where he is occupied, but he cannot do lifting, pulling, or pushing. One of her sons has had two operations in the past 4 years. She goes on and says that many in her family are very sick. She names two of them who have had bad hearts and implants to regulate the heart. Her sisters, plural, have heart trouble and also some problems of the mind. She then talks about one of her relatives who's under great strain because his son died of heart trouble at the age of 3.5. There have been suicides in the family. Her sister had a daughter who committed suicide and a grandson who committed suicide and a husband who died in a drowning. Her other sister died of the flu. Two brothers died shortly after birth. Now, I tell you, when I take a look at this and then examine my own family, there's hardly been anything that's happened in my family that even comes near this. Most of my immediate family are well. You know, one of my sons was killed in a motorcycle accident. My father has died. My wife's parents have died, but they died at an older age. My mother, we're going to be having her 90th birthday in November, God willing. Some of you are really going through some problems. Here's what she said, though, in her letter. I get lonely and try my best to take care. And she names some names. I trust God, and He has taken care of me. Now, can you imagine anyone else except a Christian writing that? That certainly, this wonderful lady is not a theologian of self-glory who looks around at her experience to decide whether or not God is taking care of her. This is almost like a list of Job, one thing after the other. And yet, Her faith is strong. In fact, her last line prior to her salutation, God's love, is, I pray for you and your family. Please pray for me. This is the kind of family we have here at AM 850 KFUO. People that we have come to know, and then individuals who have come to know we here at AM 850 KFUO. And I'll tell you, every one of the programs here, every one of the hosts can give you examples of how this radio station has so helped people keep a balance between the grief and suffering that they have and the absolute trust in God that He is still taking care of me. By the way, this just came in this morning. I had another direction I was going to go if we don't get phone calls here. But when I got this, I said, boy, that's something that I think you really need to hear about. I'm Tom Baker. As I said, this is Open Mic Friday. Have you been going through a time of suffering or grief? Do you have some questions about God's direction in your life, or even if He is in your life? Don't hesitate to give us a ring here. We'll be glad to entertain any questions at 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Yesterday we were talking about different kinds of sermons, and I was very helped by the article I read, and I think I forgot to tell you where I got a lot of this information. Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis puts out a publication called the Concordia Journal. And a lot of that information I was sharing with you was from a Professor David J. Peter in one of the issues in Volume 35, Number 3 of the Concordia Journal. And it was entitled, Reaching Out Without Losing Balance, Maintaining a Theological Center of Gravity in Preaching. And in case you weren't listening yesterday, we just simply talked about the various kinds of sermons that are no longer vertical, but horizontal. No longer vertical, but horizontal. Ones that adopt a hear-based epistemology, which simply means that when the preacher is doing a sermon, he doesn't want to offend anybody, so he does the sermon in such a way that the people are all nodding their heads, because that's the way they're already thinking. So you get people to think that what you are preaching is what they already believe, and there's really no need for a change, either in their ethics, in their morality, in their doctrine, because, in a sense, whatever is true is what you think is true. Very little in that sermon that would say, no, you are wrong, this is God's truth. The second kind of sermon we looked at was consumer satisfying sermons. That's the kind of sermons that come about when you're dealing with the felt needs of people. Somebody comes to church and say, boy, I'm just having trouble, you know, getting a job, or I'm having trouble dealing with my children. And so they're looking for some practical how-to helps in perhaps what they're able to do. Although the third sermon is very much like that. It's a self-help sermon, where the consumer wants a solution to whatever his problems are, specifically. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, because the more I looked at this, the more I'm really convinced that this is a great analysis of a lot of the preaching going on today. And it suddenly hit me as to why so many pastors are unaware of the fact that they're really not preaching sermons. They're preaching good psychology, sociology, things like that, but not really theology. And here's the question I want to ask you. When you go to a bakery shop, do you expect to have somebody there who's going to cut your hair? And cut your nails, make you look good? No. If you go to a barber shop where that could happen, Are you expecting there that you're going to have someone there teaching you how to replace a washing machine that may be broke? No. That's not going to happen. When you go to the post office to mail a letter, do you think you're going to have somebody behind the counter trying to sell you a car? No. I mean, you wouldn't go back to that post office. And it suddenly hit me that a lot of us are unaware of what a sermon should be because, frankly, we are really unaware of what God had in mind in establishing the Christian church. You see, tell me a business that doesn't solve a problem. No, a shoe store solves the problem of finding footwear for you. Another place would solve the problem because this or that is not happening right. You go to a doctor's office and you don't expect to be served pizza and charge for it. Because that's not what they're trying to solve. You go to a physician, you get a meeting with him because maybe you're having some ailment. You go to a shoe store because you want to get some good footwear. You go to a car sales place because you want to buy a car. God has established vocations on this earth. That is, he's the one that makes sure that there's a factory that makes bread. There's stores that sell it. In other words, by means of certain gifts that he gives certain people, things get done. For example, for a couple of years, I had the opportunity part-time to be on an assembly plant, in an assembly plant at General Motor, Chrysler, and Ford. And I was really bored. But there were some other gentlemen there who were working on the line. They loved it. They came in at 7, they did their work, and they left at 3:30. They had no homework to do at home. They had no business at home. The rest of the day was free. Be there at 7, leave at 3:30. Wow. My task as a pastor is you get up at 7, and you could stay up for 24 hours, and you're not even going to get hardly anything done. It just never ends. So you're always having to make priority choices. You would like to write that book, but no, there's some shut-ins you really need to see more often. You'd like to maybe play golf every day? No, you have to prepare your sermon. So we're built differently. Now, here's the point I want to make. Here's the question. Since every story you can think of solves a problem, why did God establish the church? What problem does the church solve? Have you ever thought about that? I believe that most people have the wrong problem in mind. They look at a church as more as a place of solving their felt needs. So they want to make sure they bring their children up with good classes in mathematics, geography, religion, and so they send them to the parochial school. So they see their church primarily as a place with a parochial school. Others may see the church as a place, well, maybe they're kind of lonely and they want some friends, and sure enough, there's a lot of fellowship that occurs at a church. Others are having trouble raising their children properly, and so they want a Sunday school class to teach them morality and maybe sermons as to how to be a good parent, how to be a good spouse, how to be a good employer, how to be a good employee, and the list goes on and on. We have to stop thinking about how churches solve problems and thereby give the definition of what is a church. So if you think that a church is a place where you can get some fellowship, builds up some relationships, that's what you're going to be wanting to hear in the main message every Sunday. So I ask you once more this question. God established the church. For what reason did he establish the church? What problem did God intend the church to solve? And there is only one problem. Some people may say, well, the problem is sin. No, I'm not going to buy into that totally. Obviously, sin's a problem. But you see, if you say the church exists to solve the problem of sin, then you're going to get a lot of law-oriented sermons telling you how to stop from sinning. And I've been saying this for some months now, but I didn't realize how well it fits in with this question. Namely, sin really isn't that which separates you from God. Because Christians are not separated from God, and yet every one of us remain a poor, miserable sinner, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Do you think that sin is the problem the church solves? If you just say it that way? So you'd be expecting, and you hear this sometimes, people applaud the pastor after a sermon, and as he's going out, he's shaking hands, and somebody comes to him and says, it's about time you told them, Pastor. Yeah, we love to put people in their place to make them realize what sinners they are. Talk radio is just filled with that kind of stuff. As people in the political realm, no matter what party you're in, it appears the one party will show how the other party is hypocritical in what it is doing. And vice versa. Well, when's the last time that, well, there are some people. For example, I've heard some Republicans recently get up and say, you know, we deserve losing the election because we lost what our purpose was as Republicans. I don't hear that happening with too many Democrats standing up and saying that. Although there is getting more and more criticism of the President of the United States because of the direction he is going, even among Democrats. But you see, a church isn't a political party to put down the other people. If sin is not the primary problem, what the church's purpose is, what is the primary problem? What solution does the church announce? Now, if you're thinking of a solution, you have to think what the problem is. Well, what is the biggest problem that every human being faces? And it's not sin. Are you ready? I'm ready to say it. It's eternal damnation. You know, what good is it if you're attending some kind of religious group where you learn how to be a really nice husband and a good parent, and where you can make quite a bit of money at your work following certain business practices, and you have a nice house, you have a nice car, you have a lot of vacation, but you go to hell? Do you understand how things aren't balancing out? All those items I mentioned prior to going to hell, God has established certain vocations where that takes place. God has established certain vocations where that takes place. And those vocations are such that if you need shoes, he establishes a shoe store. And you don't expect to get your hair cut there. You go to a barber shop, you don't expect to be sold a car. You go to a car dealership, you don't expect that you're going to be sold pizza or chicken or whatever. Each has its purpose. So when you meet whoever's behind the counter, wouldn't you be astonished if they began trying to sell you something that wasn't available in the store or for which the store didn't have as its purpose? This is the problem with horizontal sermons. What? Well, if you weren't listening yesterday, a sermon that speaks from a vertical point of view, means up and down, is a sermon that has Jesus Christ at the center of it. A horizontal sermon is a sermon that speaks about our relationships with one another. And God is hardly even needed, as we're going to see in a few minutes. But if the purpose for which God Himself established the Christian church is to deliver you from your destiny of eternal damnation, then every sermon better be talking about that. And if it's not talking about that, then you aren't hearing a proper sermon. Every sermon? Oh, yes. Well, when you take a look at all the passages of the Bible that are used as readings, every one of them has as its purpose what John 20 says. That's why the entire Bible was written. And you tell me if John 20 isn't talking about salvation from eternal damnation. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. What's the difference between, well, give me a synonym for eternal damnation. It's eternal death. Now give me the opposite of eternal death, eternal life. That is what a sermon is about. Now, does that mean we don't touch the horizontal, namely our relationships with others? Of course you do. You need to balance out a sermon so you have both the vertical and the horizontal. Well, what's happening in so many sermons today, you can hear a whole sermon about our relationships with one another and have no idea at all that Christ is even necessary. You don't even have to use the word Jesus or God. You don't have to use religion at all. You can just be a good psychologist, as are some of the highest paid television evangelists today. The cross of Christ is never mentioned. The vertical never comes about. There's never a thought about you are destined to eternal damnation. But instead, you're hearing a lot of self-help sermons. You're hearing a lot of sermons that are trying to get people to love one another, but Jesus is out of the picture. Let's go to our phone lines right now, and let's begin with talking to John. Hi, John.
Good afternoon, Pastor. How are you today?
Very good. How can I help you?
Well, good. I wanted to give you a quick call and just basically point out something that I hear music there in the background. I wanted to point out something that what you had just said, that I had noticed that through some of the searches that I've been doing, that the LCMS is one of the few that gives this point of the...
Okay, I'm going to have to get back to you, John, after the break. I'm sorry.
Want to nail down your own free copy of the new Lutheran Study Bible? Well, listen for Luther hammering the 95 Theses to the church door at Wittenberg. That'll be your cue to call 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727 and register for one of several new Lutheran Study Bibles from Concordia Publishing House to be given away on KFUO Radio Friday, October 30th, just in time for Reformation Day weekend. In fact, three of our grand prize drawings will include the Treasury of Daily Prayer along with the new Lutheran Study Bible from CPH. So visit the KFUO.org homepage and register via email. Or listen for Luther's Hammer and call us with your name and number. One registration per household, please. Listen for Luther and nail down your free copy of the new Lutheran Study Bible on KFUO Radio.
This is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. When kids enter the teen years, they go through a normal separation process that can make communication difficult. My colleague Dr. James Dobson explains.
So what's taking place here is a youngster who is changing from the mother-little girl relationship and the father-little girl relationship to a relationship of peers. She is about to become an adult to look eye to eye with her parents and see them as her friends instead of the authorities that have governed and dictated her life.
Be willing to let your kids grow into adulthood. During the teen years, they may withdraw from you for a while, but it's a natural assertion of their independence. Don't take it personally and always show your love and support. Your teen will return for a closer relationship when they're ready. For more on raising healthy, happy kids, go to FocusOnYourChild.com.
The Lutheran Study Bible is the first and only study Bible in English prepared entirely from the ground up by Lutherans, offering a uniquely keen focus on the proper distinction between law and gospel, shining a brilliant light on the heart and center of the Scriptures, Christ and Him crucified, risen, and ascended for your salvation. The Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House is all about Jesus in every way for you. With over 26,500 notes, the Lutheran Study Bible has more than any other study Bible available today. These include historic Lutheran cross-references and notes dating back to the Luther Bible of 1534. It has over 31,000 concordance entries, over 880 references linked to the 36 custom-designed maps, 220 thematic articles, and 120 diagrams and charts prepared exclusively for this Bible. The Lutheran Study Bible, the English Standard Version, with study material built entirely by Lutherans to help you correctly handle the Word of God. Visit cph.org.
Next time of the Bible study, we'll begin Luke chapter 20. Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem. It's Holy Week, and the opponents have begun to line up. In response, Jesus tells the parable of the wicked tenants. And we'll talk about that parable next time with Pastor Nathan Metter here on our 10:05 Bible study. Luke 20, next time.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
On the next Joy, some of the most tender and beautiful music you'll ever hear, music from Mendelssohn's beloved oratorio, Elijah. Plus, we'll visit the campuses of some fine music schools. It's an hour that's informative, enlightening, inspiring, and it's free. This is Ron Clem. Tune in this week for Joy. Listen for Joy on the web at KFUO.org and Sunday afternoons at 4:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Open Mic Friday, Tom Baker here. Numbers are 505-7850 in the St. Louis area. Rest of the country, 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go right back and speak with our good friend, John. Hi, John. John, are you there? Okay, John. Well, we just checked you. You were still on the line. Just call right back. We'll put you right on. That first part of the program went so fast, I wasn't even hardly watching the clock. And so when I asked you to come on, I didn't realize I had less than a minute. I normally don't do that. So I apologize for that. But give a ring back, 505-7850, and we'll get you right back up. What are we talking about? I don't know how many times you hear a statement that just clarifies so much. And the point I was making in the first half hour was God created a shoe store to solve a problem, namely footwear. God created or allowed the vocation of a grocery store in order to solve a problem so you can get food. Now, God has established the Christian church. What is the problem the Christian church is primarily supposed to be dealing with? The problem is our destiny of damnation. And if that problem isn't dealt with in every sermon, then you aren't hearing a Christian sermon. And it can be dealt with in many, many ways. Let's go back and try again, John. John, I think you're back on.
Hello, Pastor.
I'm sorry for letting you go.
No problem. I didn't even realize what time it was at that time.
I know. It's just going by so fast. You know, you get on a radio, and you're only allowed 30 seconds for every minute, I guess. I don't know.
It was I was really surprised at how fast time had went. I wanted to call in and just kind of validate. Again, I don't need to validate your point, but give you a little experience that I had.
Okay.
That basically the LCMS, as I was saying, as I went through on some studies and stuff on some other theologies and things, other churches. I had noticed that a lot of churches will give you a bright, happy, rosy picture, and that's all well and good, and you get a lot of teaching on self-help issues, and whether it be marriage or whatever the case may be, and again, that's all well and good, but the LCMS, I have noticed, and our pastor had come up with this last week. That is really one of the few, very few churches that I have ran into, and I'm glad that I'm studying with LCMS now. One of the few churches that I've ran into that will actually tell you and even mention of things that can actually harm you as far as hell and damnation and stuff. Very few of the churches, it seems like they want to put across a picture, this is a good way to go and things of that nature. Hey, and that's all well and good, but a lot of them don't stray. I mean, a lot of them will stray, and it just seems to me that the LCMS will give you a straight, pretty much concise point of view.
That's what we're trained to do at our seminaries, and that is what the leadership of our administration of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That's what LCMS means, by the way,
sure.
Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Mm-hmm. So we're the second largest Lutheran church in North America, and
right.
We have mission activity all over the world. But we are really known as a conservative, Bible-believing, moral kind of believers in what the Bible says about morality.
Correct.
And more important than all of that is what we are trained to do is to preach Christ and Him crucified in every sermon. So law and gospel is extremely important in order to bring the bad news to everybody that we deserve eternal damnation, and then the good news of how God takes care of that.
Correct, and that is what I have found basically through the sermons from the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and it has been, it's been a good way to go for me because, like I'd said before, a lot of the previous churches they can really confuse you, and when it comes to the gospel and the Christ and everything of that nature, I don't think you need to be confused. You need to try
That's
to
correct.
Those great. So,
well, thank
I
you
to
so
thank
much
you.
For calling, John. God bless you. And in fact, I'm going to share something. This is by Russell Moore, but it fits just right in with what John is saying and what we're trying to get across right now. We're talking about sermons. Where anything other than Christ is preached, there is no truth offered, and thus there is no freedom proclaimed. There may be shouts of affirmation or silently nodding heads. There may be left-wing politics or right-wing politics. There may be culturally liberal psychotherapy or culturally conservative psychotherapy. There may be almost anything people think they want, but there's nothing but judgment in the air. Wow. That is really good. In other words, you may attend a kind of a sermon, and you know the kinds I'm talking about. You can speak about many of these television evangelists, particularly those that are really steeped into, say, something like psychotherapy. Or trying to really help you through something that people think is really important, some felt need that you have, or something along that line. But the fact of the matter is the only real problem the church is supposed to be solving is our destiny to damnation. Now, to solve that problem, it all depends what the text is saying. For example, this Sunday I'll be preaching. I'm going to be in Elmore, Ohio, by the way. That's up in northern Ohio, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Elmore. So I'm starting there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm there all the way till 8 o'clock at night. If you want to come and you can't make the worship services and the Bible class at 9:30, then you could come about 5 o'clock in the afternoon where there's a free meal, and then we're going to be doing a seminar for those attending on law and gospel. During the afternoon, I'm speaking with the youth, I'm speaking with Sunday school teachers and others. So the whole day is quite filled. I'm looking forward to it. Well, when you talk to people then about law and gospel, you want to make clear that one of the points I'm going to be making to the Sunday school teachers, for example, is that every text is all about how we're saved from damnation. There isn't a passage in the Bible that doesn't have its final goal, that purpose. And that's according to John chapter 20. Now, when I say a final pass, every passage, I don't mean every verse. Because David and Bathsheba, that takes a couple of chapters to go through. And it's a whole section there until you finally find out about how Jesus is related to that. Where, remember, Nathan the prophet forgives David when he is repentant on the basis of his faith in Jesus Christ. But that's a kind of another story. But every text, every passage taken in this way has plenty of food for people to eat and digest. For example, the one I'm going to be preaching on this Sunday is the rich man who comes to Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, the point that needs to be made there, the law point, is, frankly, you can't do enough to be saved. You'd have to give away everything that causes you to sin, including all your money, if you want to be saved by your works. And frankly, nobody can do that. It's impossible to be saved under the law. The gospel, therefore, comes about in that Jesus says, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So that God, all by himself, without your cooperation or contribution, saves you. That's what Christianity is all about. Now, within the context there, Jesus does talk about that the man has a trust in his riches. It's not wrong to be rich, but any trust in riches, making riches an idol, is wrong. So, upon hearing a sermon like that, number one goal is to recognize the gospel message that eternal condemnation you have been saved from. But also, God does will that you would use your money in a less idolatrous way. Not so much just for yourself, but maybe for the help of others. And that, therefore, can be a horizontal how you relate to others, if you're rich, in using your money for proper purposes, recognizing that even when you make a decision of a proper purpose, you're still going to have a sinful motivation. Very interesting. You're still going to have a sinful motivation. But it's forgiven in the blood of Christ. So, what we're talking about here is the main purpose that God established the church was to deliver you from eternal damnation. And if a sermon does not mention that, and therefore the need for Jesus Christ, you're not hearing a Christian sermon. You're hearing what Russell Moore talked about as maybe cultural psychotherapy, giving people what they want, but everybody is still under judgment. And why is that so? Well, we're discovering that when people, for example, join these great big church growth and all their sermons are kind of psychotherapy, if you have enough faith with the help of God, you can accomplish anything. You can become rich like I am. You can have possessions. You just have to put your mind to it. The normal staying membership time is about 5 years, and people kind of just drift away. Now, the reason the church looks so full is because other people hear about this and they just love to hear things that from their point of view is helping themselves. Let me give you another insight. The first insight for today, and the purpose of the church, I'm writing this down myself, is to be saved from eternal damnation. And that's what every sermon has to be about. I mean, during Pietism, when they were so sick of dead orthodoxy and doctrine that had no application to people's lives, they went the other extreme, and they actually had sermons on proper crop rotation for farmers. You know, from a creation point of view, that God, you know, desires that you do proper crop rotation. See, that's going too far the other way. You need a balance between the vertical and the horizontal. So the first insight is the purpose that God established the church is to free you from eternal damnation. Now, why isn't that heard? Well, I'll tell you. It all has to do with this idea of relevance. You know, you always don't want to go to something that's not relevant to you. For example, I would not attend a three-day seminar on how to build a dragster, a racer. That's not relevant to me. I'm not into that. Unfortunately, many pastors think that when they do a sermon and they make it relevant, they're dealing with the felt needs and the problems that people are having. So they have a problem, and the sermon attempts to solve it. For example, I mentioned this at a Promise Keepers rally I attended. This was a sermon for husbands who were having a hard time keeping their marriage together. They were given seven principles of life, the first one being, don't go out on a roof alone at night. Now, this probably could make some good common sense. In other words, don't go into a place where you're tempted without your wife. Take her with you. I mean, this is all kind of common sense, but you can be a Buddhist and give that lecture, or a Hindu, or a Mormon, or a Christian. That's not a sermon. Has nothing to do with being a sermon. It's just good common sense. So here's your second key point for today. The first one is the purpose of the church is to free you from eternal damnation. The second insight that I feel is really helpful to me and hopefully to you is the reason a lot of preachers aren't doing vertical sermons talking about Jesus and the cross is that they're really bypassing the problem behind the problem. I'll say that again. They're bypassing the problem that's behind the problems. What do I mean by that? Well, let me give you a very simple example. You're a physician, and somebody comes running into your office, and they say they just got bit by a rattlesnake. And where they got bit is burning. And you look there, and there's maybe a hole in the skin and some inflammation. So the doctor sprays the skin with something that really cools it down and puts a Band-Aid over it. You thank him, and you walk outside and fall down dead. You see, he dealt with the symptom and not the real problem. When somebody comes to church because they're having problems in their marriage or dealing with their kids or worried about their finances or concerned about their occupation or whatever, they're wanting to hear clear and exact advice as to how to solve that particular problem. But that's not what a sermon is to do. The reason they're having these problems is because of a bigger problem, which is a broken relationship with God. And a real sense that they're separated from God and eternal damnation is their destiny. They may not be able to put it in those kinds of words, but that's why I read the letter, the email I did at the beginning. from the lady who has all of these people ill in her family and all the tragedy, and yet she still is able to write, "I trust God that He has taken care of me." Now, that's really some trust in the midst of all that. Well, what's happening is the reason you're worried about finances is you're not really trusting the promises of God. The reason you're worried about dying when you go to surgery is you're not trusting the promises of God. You see, the real problem is misbelief or unbelief. Well, what you're facing is simply a symptom. But what's happened in a lot of sermons, just turn on television evangelists these days, and you'll hear them solving problems as though they are the real problems in your life, when they're just symptoms of living in a totally fallen world. People do not want guidance deep down. They want a solution to their problem. And Christianity is the only religion that offers a true solution. But if you're hearing sermons that are just dealing with your felt needs, or if you're hearing sermons that you agree with all the time, or if you're hearing sermons that give you principles of life to follow to help you out of your problem, you're not hearing a Christian sermon. You're hearing good lectures, maybe. Let's take another example. Somebody is afraid of heights. I had a good friend who was so afraid of heights, when I drove him places, I could not go over a bridge. He would just get all anxious. I could take him to a psychotherapist who would train him by means of smaller bridges and then larger and higher ones to overcome that fear. You see, there are ways to overcome the self problems, the felt problems that you have, apart from Christianity. For example, there are religions that have such a view of God that whatever happens, that was God's will. So that if a person goes to heaven, that was the will of God, and you give him praise. If a person goes to hell, that was the will of God, and you give him praise. See, there are ways to solve the problem, but that's not a biblical solution, because God doesn't will anybody to go to hell. It's a confusion between the will of God and the promises of God. What do I mean by that? You can break the will of God day in and day out, as Adam and Eve did. God's will was that they would remain in the Garden of Eden forever, and that all their children would be obedient, and we would have a wonderful kind of heavenly rest home. They disobeyed God's will. But then God made a promise about the Messiah coming. There is no way that you can interrupt God's promises. His promises always will happen. His will not. Unless He makes His will into a promise. So the desires of God, even though He is almighty and all-knowing, can often be thwarted by humans, as we do each and every day, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. When you're talking to a friend over the neighborhood fence, or maybe somebody at work, you might just ask them this question. Let's say you're working at a plant that makes paper, and you're in the office, and you're taking the orders, and you're delivering or making sure that boxes of paper be sent to the various cities. Here's a way to witness to somebody. You know, I've been thinking, what is the purpose of this factory? Is it to make relationships between you and me? Is it a place where they can feed people like they do at lunch? Is it a place where we come where we can use washrooms during the day? Is that the purpose of why this factory is here? No. Now, all those things are being done, but the primary purpose is to make paper and get it delivered. That's the primary purpose we have. And I was thinking about that, you would say to the person, and say, have you ever thought what the primary purpose of Christianity is? And they'll say, well, if they're living under the law, they'll definitely say something like this, to love our God and to love our neighbor as ourself. That'll be the stock answer. Or to be kind to one another. They will definitely move it into a horizontal kind of conclusion. And there you have a tremendous opportunity to witness to them and say, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you that those things don't happen in a church where people find fellowship, they find companionship, they find a place where they get some answers to their problems. But the purpose of the church, as I understand it, is to free us from eternal damnation. Now, do you understand what a different level that is on from what most people think about the church? They think about it in functional, practical terms. And therefore, when they come to hear a sermon, they really don't want to hear about their own sin. They want to have some self-help. They want to have something that they can use, that they can function with. And my point is that if you are dealing with Christians, you really ought to be pinpointing the sermon on the main problem of all humanity, and that's our destiny to damnation. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of those believers so that they not only come to a thanksgiving, but it does have relevance in their symptomatic problems that are going on all around them. When we get back from the break, we'll be continuing with Law and Gospel. Numbers are 505-7850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. And if you want to email us something, it's lawgospel@kfuo.org. That's lawgospel@kfuo.org. We'll be back in a few minutes. Anxious to take your questions or your comments on this Open Mic Friday.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.